welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning. If you are visiting with us or if you have any prayer requests or anything, you can use the insert in your bulletin and you can put it in offering plate or give it to Pastor Tim or one of the deacons and we'll take care of whatever that need may be. We do have an invitation. The Resurrection Quartet will be in concert on August the 18th. At Mount Vernon Baptist Church at 7 p.m. Some of the group have sang with the Inspirations. The church is located at 5079 Old Highway 179 North. And Mount Vernon invites anyone that would like to attend to please attend that. That's on the 18th at 7 p.m. at Mount Vernon. The men's ministry will meet Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Let Pastor Tim or Harold King know if you're planning on attending or if you're inviting any guests so we can kind of have a head count for that. 38 in Sunday school this morning. Amen. Any other announcements, y'all, that we can think of? I think Brother Tim would like to meet with the deacons and Miss Pollard just for a couple of minutes after church today, so remind all the deacons and Miss Pollard on that. Any birthdays? Harold's got the guitar. He's ready to play Happy Birthday on the guitar, y'all. So.
Trip was Monday.
So you got.
I don't have that down.
You don't. Oh, put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't know the key it was in on the kid. We've been doing a cappella so long. Who's
the Trip?
Happy birthday, man.
We're
going to get him again. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Hey, Trill, that means more presents today. Yeah, that means more birthday presents. And cake and ice cream again, lady, huh?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the Sunday school hour previously, Lord. We thank you for the 38 individuals that have decided to come and learn more about you in Sunday school, Lord. And we just want to continue to lift our Sunday school up to you. Pray for the teachers, Lord, and the organizers and the ones that attend, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that God's word will be continued to be taught and better understood through our Sunday school, Lord. Lord, we do just want to take this time to start our worship service with a prayer and just lifting the songs up, the hymns up to you today, Lord, to bring glory to you, Lord. But we also want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us today, Lord, and proclaims your word today, Lord, that we have come ready to listen, Lord. We have prayed about the service, Lord, and that we have come not only just to listen, Lord, and hear, Lord, but to do what your word says, Lord. And I just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Harold?
This morning we're going to do a little... Hello? Check. Okay, sorry about that. We have a... You unplugged me. Tim unplugged me.
You're going to have to quit doing that. Hey, this morning we're here to praise and worship our Lord. Aren't we? Yeah. So let's all stand and we're going to sing the chorus. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's sing it from our heart. Let's praise the Lord. Lift him up on high this morning. Worship be on the screen. So glad you're in my life.
get your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Y'all did a good job. Hey, if we have any more guitar pickers in the bunch, y'all welcome up here. We get it going on Sunday morning, okay?
Seriously, if y'all know someone that's a musician, or y'all invite them to Wiggins Baptist Church, we wanna
get some good praise and worship music going.
Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 182.
Thank you.
word proclaimed and to worship you in song, Lord. We just thank you for that. Lord, we just pray for our country and we pray for this church, Lord. We pray that we'll be found faithful. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless the ones that give this. And Lord, we pray that it'll be used to further your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
You can contain your joy inside.
time to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Titus chapter 1. Last Sunday morning we started our study in the book of Titus with a letter from Paul to Titus, and as I said last Sunday, I think that this is a letter that should be read by every person wanting to become a member of our churches, because it teaches us that church matters. Church matters today in society, and I know we can blame COVID over the last few years, but it didn't start with COVID. It started a long, long time ago when football and weightlifting and baseball and everything else started being played, to where people, it took them out of church. But church matters. Church matters so much to God that God sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for His church. So church does matter. Somebody once said this: coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. For the church to have success, we first and foremost have to put Christ center place. We need to have leaders that are strong in their faith. We need to have believers that are true believers, not just people who call themselves Christians. We need men, we need women who will stand up and speak truth into the lives of others. Because honestly, folks, if you won't speak the truth into the lives of others, who will? You say, well, I don't know what the truth is. Can I tell you, my Bible says that Lord's word is truth. And so when we study the Word of God, that's why it is important for us to be in Sunday school. It is important for us to be here on Sunday mornings. But it is also important to be here on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Because I'm going to tell you this, and you might get mad at me, and that's okay. How many of you eat one time a week? If you're like me, you eat one time, and that's all the time, right? No, I'm just kidding. But see, you would not be strong physically, emotionally, if you only fed on food one time a week. How do we think we can be spiritually strong when we only get into the Word of God for maybe an hour or two on Sunday mornings? And then we go the rest of the week and starve ourselves to death. Does that make sense to you? We need to be a church that is strong in what we believe. Because what we believe will eventually show up in what we do. If you don't believe the Word of God, you're not going to live by the Word of God. You're not going to do the Word of God. But if you do believe in the Word of God, and as our Sunday school lesson this morning pointed out, when we really believe the Word of God, we're going to do what it says. But if we don't believe what God tells us, then we're going to reject and deny what He has told us to do. Paul writes this letter to Titus because of the problems that the churches on Crete were having. As I said last week, just as a quick reminder, there were churches, there were people who got saved. On the day of Pentecost, they went back to their little island, and they began to share what God did for them. And can I tell you, if it worked back then, it still works for us today. If we would just simply tell people what Jesus did for us, the change He's made in us. That is our testimony. That is His story working in and through us. And so Paul begins to correct this church, and he's sending this young preacher named Titus to set things in order. It wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be overnight. It wasn't going to come without pain, and it was not going to come without opposition. Because anytime you begin to do a work for God, you can bet your bottom dollar that the enemy is going to come against you.
Can I also warn you this? It's not always those on the outside that come after you. Many times it is those who are believers who as Paul is addressing here, and we'll see that over the next few weeks, Paul is addressing those who have issues within the church. He calls them people of the circumcision. In other words, these were people who were saved, but they were leading other people astray. Maybe some didn't know what they were doing because they hadn't been taught, but then there were others who were doing it for personal gain. So as I talk this morning, I want to speak or preach on the subject of leadership matters. Leadership matters. Paul told Titus he needed to set things in order. So let's go ahead and read verse 5, and we'll read on down through verse 9. Paul says, "For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife," y'all see that? "One wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word," not his word, but God's word, "holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, Lord, you have given us an example what a sound church looks like. Lord, help us to be leaders. Help us to find faithful men who will stand up for the word of God, who won't just speak it, Lord, but they will live it out in their lives. And Lord, I thank you for the men that we already have. But Lord, help us to come alongside of others, Lord, who will take up the torch and lead later on, Lord, when we're gone from this place. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us understanding. But Lord, help us always to trust your word and to always stand on the truth. So Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives today. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you see, if you notice when you're reading through here, you see a bishop or elder. Can I simply say this? There's not that much of a distinction. Now, you can split hairs if you want to, but when you see the word overseer, deacon, elder, bishop, it really means an overseer. It really comes from the word shepherd. Shepherd. These people are supposed to be leaders who will guide and guard and protect the flock of God, the church of Jesus Christ. We are to be shepherds under Christ. We are to be led by him, and then we are to try to lead others to him as well. But we need to find men. Can I tell you, and I don't believe this is the case here, but I've seen churches that the only reason the deacon got put on the deacon board was because he had money. Can I tell you that's a bad combination? I'm not knocking money, but if a man isn't doing the job, he don't need the job. Amen. Acts chapter 6. Now, we need men who are faithful, and Paul goes on to talk about this. Number one, it is a man. And I know we can get into a whole other subject some other time about deaconesses that are mentioned. But these who are leaders over the church body, it says he is to be a man. Okay? To be a man. He is also to be blameless. Now, how many of you can ever say that you have lived one day without sinning against God? Blameless does not mean sinless. Blameless means that a person has high character. They're going to slip up. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to fall sometimes. But that should not be his lifestyle. His lifestyle should be one who, when he makes a mistake, he owns up to it, he confesses his sin, and he gets right with God and with whoever. That is a person who is blameless. But you can't just put anybody in there. You say, why? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. That's a noble thing, right? To be an elder, to be a leader within the church. But then James chapter 3 and verse 1, this is what James says. He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a what? Can I tell you, and I'm not trying to keep anybody from being a Sunday school teacher or leader within the church, but if you decide to do so, you better pay the price as far as studying the Word of God, because God will hold you accountable to what you teach, what you say, and so the time that He gives us, we better make good use of it. Now, writer of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 gives us a very similar warning. He says, obey those who rule over you. Now, I believe this is talking about those in the church, but you could also put those who were in the society's government as well. He says, obey those who rule over you, be submissive, for they watch out for your what? For your souls. As those who must give an what? Account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. You see, there's warnings about who should take these positions, that this is a serious matter when you step in front of people and teach them the Word of God and lead them to do what is right. We need to be not just people who talk the talk, but people that walk the walk, right? Well, we need to be those type of people that God can use. What qualities should these men have? What qualities? If you read through here, you can find in different translations, different words and synonyms and all that other kind of stuff. But if you just go through and randomly take these adjectives that describe this type of person, you can find between 20 and 23 of them. This isn't just the average person we're talking about off the street. This is somebody who has character and lives up to that, have integrity. Well, I'm not going to list them all, but you can go back and read them this evening. I'll read them again during this week. I think the first thing that this man needs to be is a family man. A family man. If he doesn't love his wife, how can he properly love God's people? Amen? If he doesn't love his children, how can he properly love your children? I heard one time, this has been a couple years ago, I don't remember exactly when, but maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even 5, I don't know when time goes. I heard of this man who was suing his parents. He said that his parents had so much messed his life up that he was suing them for $350,000. That's crazy. he claimed that because they had so damaged him that it was going to cost him about $350,000 worth of psychiatric help to get straightened out. I understand that parents play a major role in their life, their child's life. So I'm not discrediting that. We can either build our children up or we can tear them down. We can give them hope or we can give them hopelessness. We can give them Christ or we can give them Satan. It is our responsibility as parents to raise our children because God desires godly offspring. Amen. He wants us, but you don't just naturally get. When that baby comes out, it's not a godly baby. Amen. You might think it's an angel, but just give it a few months. It ain't angelic after a little while or a few years or two when they reach their teenage years. This is the point I'm trying to make. As we raise our children and fathers, that's why it's important for us to be involved in our kids' lives. Because they need to know that when they look at you, they should be seeing the next closest thing to God. Got quiet in here. As a father, we are to model who God is to our children. They should see the love, the protection, the guidance, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the compassion, the grace, the mercy. All the things that God shows to us, we should show to our children as well. Now, there are no perfect parents. Amen. I look back on my life, I realize my mom and dad made a whole bunch of mistakes. Amen. But I also realize with my own three children, I've made a lot of mistakes too. Matter of fact, one time I was talking with a preacher friend of mine and talking about issues of children and all, and he told me, "Tend not to beat yourself up over that." I said, "Well, I do. I take it serious." And he said, let you in on something. He said, Adam and Eve had one parent. And how did they turn out? They had a perfect parent, God the Father, who loved them, gave them everything that they needed, and yet they still rebelled against God. And he said, so if Adam and Eve rebelled against God, what do you think your kids are going to do to you? Amen. But our lifestyle should model that of a godly person. And of all people, Christians should be teaching their children. I said this a while ago, an elder, as Paul writes, should be the husband of one wife and only one. If wife dies, spouse dies, that's a whole other ballgame there. The literal translation is one woman man. One woman man. Elder must be a man whose children believe and who are in submission, not ones who are rebellious and headstrong and do their own thing. I've often heard this, you know why preachers' kids are so bad?
They play with the deacon's
kids. They're playing with the deacon's kids, amen? Y'all heard that one before. I didn't ever let my kids play with the deacon's kids, honestly. No, but here's the thing. As we look at children and Christians that are trying their best to raise their children, we've got to also realize we're always going to be parents. But when your kids grow up and they leave home, can I tell you, you're not responsible then for what they do. In a sense, we're still to guide them, we're still to love them, we're still to nurture them, and I give them wisdom, give them godly advice, but, you know, if you've done everything you can to raise them right, and they get grown, get out of the house, and they go wild, man, you got to cling to Proverbs 22:6, I think it is. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, they will come back. but we've got to do our part to raise them to be that way. Here's the thing. If a man is not involved in his home raising his own kids, he has no business trying to raise people in the church. Amen? That's why we need godly men. We need men who will step up. We need men who are strong family men. Verse 7, I believe, Paul writes and he talks about a trustworthy man. In verse 7, it says, for a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. He goes on and on. He's talking about a trustworthy man. Harold knows this one. He was talking about this the other day, but I've probably heard it my whole life, and you probably have too. There's this woman that called in to the church office, and the secretary answered the phone, and the lady says, I need to talk to the preacher. She said, well, I would let you, but he's out on visitation. And every time this woman would call, it was the same thing. This preacher was always out on visitation. Well, little did the people of the church know that the boat's name he owned was Visitation. So every time this person, somebody needed the preacher, he was out on visitation. It didn't mean he was visiting people. It meant that he was out fishing on his boat. Now, we don't want a person that's like that. Amen? We want people, we want a pastor, we want deacons who are there when we call them in order to do the things that need to be done, to be taking care of the church body, the needs that are met, whether they're health or finances or prayer, whatever it may be. We need people who are trustworthy that we can put in positions and not have to worry about them. An elder, a deacon, a bishop are to be servants. They're to be servants. How do I know that? Because my Bible tells me Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And if he took that lowly road to serve us, then what better way should we witness to others than by serving them? An elder should minister to the sick, to those who have needs in the church. They should shepherd the flock. They should pray for the flock. They should also be able to teach. 1 Peter 5:3 tells us that he should be a good example for the flock, and I'm paraphrasing that. They should also be concerned. They should be concerned about the people of God and have compassion on them. How do I know that? Because everywhere I read of Jesus in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus looked out onto the crowds of people, who did he always take notice of? He took notice of those who had needs, whether they were physical needs, hunger, pain, suffering, demon possession, whatever it was, Jesus looked out, and when he saw the people, the Bible says he had compassion on them. Compassion, to me, my definition is moved to action, because every time Jesus saw them, the Bible says he had compassion on them, but he didn't just feel sorry for them. He didn't sympathize with them. He did something about it. That's the kind of men we need. We need men who will step up and say, I see a need. How can I help? How can I help you? How can I minister to you? Can I throw a side note in here, though? We need to be people who are honest. We need to be people who are honest. And I'm not just talking about the deacons and the leaders in the church. Sure, we need them to be honest. But can I tell you, we as a congregation need to be honest too. So many times we come in, we walk up to somebody and say, how are you doing? And what is always the line that comes out of our mouth? I'm fine. I'm doing good. When you've had the roughest week of your life, when you've got a bad doctor's diagnosis, when you've had a kid that's been rebased, when you've got kids that's strung out, when you've got these problems and that problem and everything else, and we come into church where we're supposed to tell the truth and be honest with one another, and the first thing we do is tell the untruth. Tell a lie. We need to be honest with each other. And I know we have the feeling, you know what? People got more problems than I do. Can I tell you, my Bible says that we're to bear one another's burdens. How can we help bear burdens if we don't know what they are? An elder, point number three, is to be a blameless man. I kind of already touched on this. Blameless does not mean sinless. It means that he should be above reproach. In other words, if he's done something wrong, he's confessed to God, he's confessed to whoever it's happened with, he's tried to make amends, make right with it, and move forward. He hasn't stayed in that position. It has not compromised who he is. My Bible tells me in Romans 3:23, and this is not on the screen, but all have sinned. We're all sinners. Everyone slips up from time to time. But a blameless man should be one who has put Christ at the center of his life. And he knows when he's got off track. And when he's gotten off track, he does his best to get back on with the help and grace and mercy of God the Father. He should be an example for his wife. He should be an example for his children. He should be as blameless as possible so that people know who he belongs to. This goes without saying, point number four, an elder should be a godly man. Should be a godly man. Verses 8 and 9, I want you to read those again with me. Says he should be hospitable. What does hospitable mean? Come on. Friendly. Welcoming. He should be somebody who is quick to take care of somebody's needs. Somebody, when I think of hospitable, I think about going to a hotel and they've got hospitality things. You know, they serve you breakfast. These people are serving you. They want to know how you want your room. If there's anything else you need, or do you need something in the refrigerator, or do you need pickup or wake up calls, and all these kind of things. That shows hospitality to others, because you know what it does? It shows you care. When you go through Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and you place your order, even if you order something off the wall, what does that person standing there at the window right there in the blazing hot 118 degree weather, they tell you it is their
pleasure.
And yet we deal with the Word of God. That's the greatest news on earth. And sometimes people come in, they're hurting, they need help, they need somebody to be nice to them, to be kind to them. And many times it's like going through McDonald's drive-thru and you place the order and tell them, thank you, and they say, huh? You see, there's a big difference, because when you go through Chick-fil-A, you realize they appreciate you. They're showing you hospitality. No matter what it is, what it costs, they're going to show you hospitality. But and that's the same way we should be as believers. We should show that hospitality to others so that they know that they are important to us. Amen? Because how many of you like going to a place who doesn't value who you are or what you do or what you spend your money on. We need men who are hospitable. We need men who are lovers of what is good, not what is just best for them. We need men who are sober-minded. That means to be in full facilities, have their bearings at all times, not full of spirits, but full of the Spirit. Amen? The Spirit of God. They need to be in their right mind. They need to be controlled, have self-control, so that when there are problems, that, hey, we don't get upset, we don't fly off the handle. We need people who are in control of all their facilities at all times, regardless of what happens. They need to be just. In other words, they need to be right and make right decisions. They need to be holy. They need to be holy. I can't be holy without first having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the starting point for all of us. They need to be self-controlled or disciplined, as many translations use here. He should hold firmly to the Word of God. Can I tell you what scares me to death is when I hear somebody in the church. So I know what that's the Bible, what the Bible says, but this is what I think. Ooh, man. You better run. You better not put that person teaching a Sunday school class or in the deaconship or any other position, because if he don't stick to the Word of God, he's going to lead you to the devil. Needs to be a godly man. 1 Timothy 3:2 says he must also be able to teach. Should be able to teach. I'm thankful for Brother Tim as he teaches Sunday school class. But here's the point of all this. A pastor is just like you. Amen. I have problems. I'm getting a little older. I'm getting a little older. Things happen. Life happens. Family happens. The times, things that goes on. And sometimes the pastor can't always be there. But if he has a deacon, he has an elder, he has a bishop, he has somebody else that he can call on and say, listen, I know this may be short notice, but I've got a family emergency and I need somebody to step up. He can step up there into a place. He may not feel comfortable up here, but he can stand in front of other people and just do a devotion, do something, be able to teach people. You know why? Because he should be a man who is in the Word of God himself. He should be a man who is studying the Word of God. He should be able to hold to what he knows and to be able to teach sound doctrine. He should be able to rebuke and correct those things that are wrong. If somebody makes a statement, he don't disagree with it. He says, no, that's not what Scripture says. And he can back up what he is talking about. See, but it takes a man who spends time in the Word of God to be able to do that. This person, this man, should also be a man who seeks to reach the lost. How do I know? Because my Bible once again tells me that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And so a man of God, that Paul is telling Titus here, he should be a man who's heart is on those who are lost. We need to have that mindset in our own lives. But can I tell you, and hear my heart on this, we don't just need godly men. We don't just need godly leaders. We need godly church members. Amen. We need to model this ourselves, not just say, well, this is good for you. thee, but not good for me. We got politicians that do that all the time. We need to be people who will say, listen, I want to know the truth. Can I tell you, when I was a kid, and this is for you younger ones and older ones too, when I was a kid, I grew up in Independent Baptist Church, and he hooted and hollered and everything else, but every time we didn't have the screens like we do here, every time he had mentioned a verse, guess what I would do? I fact-checked him, even before that was even a real thing. I fact-checked him because I wanted to make sure what he was telling me was the truth, okay? And I still do that today, even when I'm sitting under somebody else and I'm thinking, he might say something, I might disagree with him at first, or maybe, well, it's causing questions, and say, man, I'll go back and I'll check. We should have discernment. And the world, Satan is pitching so many lies out there. And if the church itself does not know the truth, how in the world can we guide the people around us? How can we share the truth with them if we don't know the truth? You see, we need to be godly people. We need to be we all need to be people who are family oriented. We need to all be people who are trustworthy and blameless as possible. We need to be as godly as possible. And that will only happen when we look to the Lord, when we stay in His Word and take it to heart. John chapter 10, verse 11. This is not on the screen either. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He is the good overseer. And if we're going to be people that are trying to model ourselves and say that we are Christ-like, then we also need to be good overseers. We need to be the good shepherds of those who God has given to us. Because here's the thing, what I know most of us say, well, I'm not a leader. If you've got breath in your lungs, you're leading somebody. You're either leading them to Christ or leading them away from Christ. And you're going to hear me say that a lot. Every single person that has ever been born is leading somebody. The question is, where are you leading them to? With your words, your actions, everything about your lifestyle speaks to leadership. So where are we leading people? Some of us this morning may, no matter how hard we try, can never be the spiritual leader God wants us to be because we don't have a relationship with Him. We've never given our hearts and lives to Him. And so first thing this morning I encourage you to do, and we sing a song of invitation, step forward and say, Brother Tim, I need to know how I can be saved. Some of us may be in a leadership position, whether it's children's church, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's whatever. And you might say today, well, I haven't been all that God wants me to be. And maybe you just need to come and spend time at the altar and confess those sins to the Lord and say, Lord, help me be.